The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Matt Slick Live. It is, August 12th, 2021 for the podcasters. Hey, got some stuff to talk about really fast. If you want to give me a call, five open lines, 877-207-2276. So get this. Yesterday, I dared violate YouTube protocols by talking about COVID and vaccination and stuff like that. And so they suspended my Carm account, YouTube one. And, well, I tell you, you know, you're not allowed to say things that doesn't, you know, support the status quo and stuff like that. I'm going to be doing a lot of research on COVID, the vaccines, the whole bit. I've already started today because of this. I just had it. So I'm just letting you know, if you go to the Carm home site, you won't be able to see the feed, but you can go to... I think you can go to Carm Facebook. I think Ernie is going to be putting the URL to another YouTube account that I have that I'll be sending it to, so you can check that out. And if you want to watch, not that big a deal. But let's see. Yep. Is it even waiting for Carm videos? That's what it says. Waiting. Oh, yeah. Don't you love it? You know, free speech is just a commodity for the left. And... there you go. That's one thing. So if you want to talk about that, give me a call. But I'm going to be doing a lot of research. I've already done a lot, but I'm codifying, writing. I spent some time on the WHO website today, the CDC website, finding out information and things like that. So I am live on the Matt Slick YouTube account. And what I'm going to do is once I get the information and it's fully documented from, absolute documented from official resources, I'm going to do an experiment. I'm going to say it and mention it. I'll have a website page ready, and then let's just see if I get suspended again or another account, even if I have information that's absolutely documented. And we'll see. You know, we'll just see what happens. It finally happened. All right. Want to give me a call? 877-207-2276. Now, last night, I was in a debate on oneness versus Trinity with a guy named Stacy Turbeville. And if you saw that last night, I would love to hear your feedback. I'd love to know what it is you think of that debate. Because, in my opinion, it was basically a debacle. I was just amazed at how little my opponent knew about the doctrine of the Trinity. It was pretty bad. And he stated that that the Trinity was teaching three gods. And I said, no, it's not it. Let's see, there we go. Good, got it up there. Good. I said, no, it's not the Trinity. It's not three gods. He said, yes, it is. And I said, no, it's not. By definition, it's not three gods. It's monotheistic. And he would argue with me. And I said, go to any systematic theology, go to articles, look it up. You'll always find that it's one God in three distinct simultaneous persons. And he said, no, it's three gods. And he says, and I know more about the Trinity than you do. I know more about what you believe than you do. He actually said that. And it's like, what do you do with people like that, you know, who say, I know more about what you believe than you do? I mean, but how would you know what I think? He actually said it, and it was kind of ludicrous. And one guy, Andrew, says, yeah, he didn't know what he was talking about. Oh, Charlie says, yeah, because, oh, man, it was bad. He said, well, you teach, you know, God had three brains. And I'm like, three brains? Where'd you get that? And there was a lot of good stuff there. And so he was saying that the Father indwelt Jesus and left Jesus right before Jesus was crucified. I said, well, then that means that it cannot be true that when Zechariah 12:10, when God says, look upon me whom they have pierced. And went to John 2:19 through 21, where it's Jesus says, "Destroy this temple 3 days; I will raise it up." And I said, "But he's doing his own resurrection." He goes, "No, he's not." But that's what it says right there. I will raise it up. But he's performing the action of the resurrection. He said, "Nope, that's the Father doing it." And he's just speaking. It didn't matter what I said. And then the guy had the nerve of saying that I was twisting scriptures and making it fit what I wanted. I mean, you know, it's like, what? And so every time I would quote a verse, he would reinterpret the verse and then accuse me of doing things that were wrong. It was pretty amazing. So if you got any comments on that for anybody who saw, please feel free to give me a call and we can talk about it. It was interesting. I did put an article up today on CARM about it on the website, Trinity or Oneness, What is the Biblical View of God? I put up the link for the information, and you can watch it if you want, stuff like that. All right, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Rudy from Utah. Hey, Rudy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, buddy. More hanging than in there, though. So what do you got?
I just wanted to ask you a question, if you knew about, because there's a church that some of my family go to, and I've been thinking about going to this church with them, because, of course, you mm-hmm. know, I want to fellowship with my family members. My uncle, grandparents go there. But the church is starting to affiliate with the Pentecostal Church of God, which is a Pentecostal, like, I guess, denomination from California.
Okay, I'm
and
looking.
I wanted to see if you knew about them. And
I don't, but I'm looking right now at their website and beliefs and bylaws. Let's see. So what I could do is just do a little bit of an analysis. I'm looking at their statement, Unity of the Godhead, three persons of one individual essence. That's good. Co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal. That's good. And salvation through the meritorious work of Christ. Godly sorrow works repentance and makes possible the experience of the new birth. Yeah, they're not very well informed theologically on that. Let's see. Salvation is the gift of God, separate from works of the law. That's good. The church. Water baptism is by immersion or a symbol of the Christian identification with Christ and his death, burial, resurrection. That's good. And I can't read everything. Fit washing is recognized among many believers as a Christian practice. And coming of the Lord, hell and eternal. The one who physically dies without Christ is eternal loss in the lake of fire. That's good. So now we got to find out. This is a really fast cursory examination, but nothing in there that I've looked at just blatantly heretical. Now what I would do is look to see what their staff is, if they've been pastors and elders. That's the next thing, and I'm trying to find that and stuff like that. So, but I don't know. I would have to interview them or talk to them or something like that. On CARM, there is an article, What to Look For in a Church. And what you could always do is go to that article and then call them up and ask them. Just ask them, what do they teach?
Yeah.
And, you know, on these areas.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, and I can't find anything that says women pastors, but, we'll see.
Well, that's good. Yeah, the only thing that kind of I had a question about, and I mean, I follow a lot of the same, like, theological outlooks that you do, and I listen to you a lot, but mm-hmm. one of their elders at the church I was talking to at a barbecue, and he believes that we can lose our salvation. Mm-hmm. And so I gave him a few, you know, because I've read your articles on that, just, you know, a couple of thoughts from that. And he's like, well, you know, that's what one person says, but he believes that, you know, it's fully possible for a saved Christian mm-hmm. to lose their salvation.
Yeah. Then I always ask them at that point, well, what good things have you got to do to keep yourself saved? Because you'd lose it by doing something bad. The corollary is you keep it by doing something good. So what do you got to do? And that's where you got to go to. Then, you know, John 6:37 through 80. I'm 80. I'm reading something while I'm talking. 37 through 40, sorry. I don't see. I was looking also, and in their staff, they don't have any women pastors, but they do have a woman chaplain, and that's a concern. But anyway, these are some of the things you can check out and look into and ask, you know, and then you could call me back and say, hey, this is what I found out. women's ministry director.
Yeah. I may do that. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not heretical. I appreciate you looking.
Well, here's the thing. You got to ask a lot of questions. If they teach you can lose your salvation, then you have to say, well, what do you got to do to keep it? And then if they say, well, you got to live a holy life, then you're going to be jumping into a legalistic system that may become cultic. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they are. It's just some churches, when they teach you can lose your salvation, then there's a list of things you can't do. And there's a list of things you're supposed to do, and then that becomes a cult. So you just got to find out, if they say, well, you just believe in it, we just think, you can't reject Christ. Even though I disagree with that logic, I'd say, okay, and then make sure they're not keeping their salvation by their own goodness and effort. That's the thing I'd be, concerned about. So, and then women pastors and elders, you've absolutely got to ask about that. And stuff, Pentecostal, and usually they're going to be highly charismatic, and usually those charismatic, as Pentecostalism is, they usually have women pastors and elders. So you got to ask and find out. Just because they didn't list it doesn't mean they don't have them. All right?
Right. Okay. All right, I'll go read that article on carm.org then.
Yeah, what to look for in a church. Okay? All right.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. God bless, buddy. Okay.
God bless you.
All right, that's Rudy from Utah. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield, California. Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. God bless.
Hey, God bless. What do you got, buddy?
Well, first and foremost, I wanted to say, man, I wanted to tune in to your debate, and I missed it.
Oh.
Do you have that video on Carm? Is it on your YouTube channel?
If you go to the CARM site, you'll see Trinity or Oneness, What is the Biblical View of God? And if you click that link, it's at the top of the page. It'll give you the information. Let's see. Yeah, and it'll give you a link in there where you can watch it. And I provided the opening statement there as well. Matt Slick's opening statement, which I just kind of read through a little bit of stuff there. But that's that. I also have... I'm updating the thing under the apologetics section, there's a heading called debates, and I updated that too with Eastern Orthodox, Oneness, and things like that. So I'll be updating those pages as well with more debates. I got another debate coming up in 2 weeks, and then possibly another debate with an atheist coming up on transcendentals and goodness and stuff like that. We'll see. Okay, so what do you got, man? What's up?
I was actually going through some scriptures. Because I've been dealing with the Hebrew Israelite, and I was just reading up on Galatians chapter 3, and there was something there that just dawned on me. Like, well, I mean, I knew it, of course, but I just like, wow. In verse 8 of Galatians 3, that word Gentile, is that referring to us?
In Galatians, I put Genesis.
Yeah, Galatians chapter 3. Verse 8.
The scripture foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles. It's actually the Greek word is ethnos, all the ethnic groups, things like that, that he'll be justifying them. All the nations.
I just it was like, wow, like, even though I know,
hold on,
that,
we got a break. Hold on.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to, want to talk about this. Okay. Hey, folks, we'll be right back. We have one open line, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Nelson. Hey, Nelson, you still there?
Yes.
All right, man. What do you got, buddy?
Yeah, just God's goodness. How it says right there. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's just amazing how God would justify us Gentiles by faith, even though through my unperfectness, even right. though the scripture says I have sinned, we have fallen short of the glory of God, and yet he foresaw that we will be justified by faith.
Yeah.
That's true. It's just amazing. The more I get into God's word, the more it just, wow.
Well, you know, he does prophesy in Genesis 12:3 that in Abraham all the nations will be blessed, and that is you know, that's the justification by faith thing. So, yep,
wow,
yeah, absolutely,
amen. Mm-hmm. And just another quick question: on your website, do you have anything that refers to Hebrew Israelites?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. All you got to do is go there and just type in Black Hebrew Israelite, and it'll give you information on it.
Okay.
And we do have...
Sounds good.
I have a connection with a guy who's an expert, Vocab Malone. And so, you know, if you're really interested, you can, actually, it's Vocab Malone. Just look him up. He's down there in the Phoenix
Vocab
area.
Vocab Malone?
Vocab, as in vocabulary. Vocab.
Yeah,
Malone.
Vocab, yeah.
And, he knows the stuff. If I have any questions, he's the guy I call, and he tells me. He's very knowledgeable. So it's what he's been studying for years. Okay?
Okay. I will look him up, definitely.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Matt.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. All right. Okay. All right. If you want to give me a call, two open lines, 877-207-2276. Stacy from Iowa, give me a call back. And, talk about that. Let's get to Bobby from North Carolina. Bobby, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. What do you got, man?
All right. That's what I say so often. I got two things. One, I wanted to give you a resource for, you said you was going to be doing some research on the whole COVID and what's going on. And
vaccines, yeah.
I'd like to give you... Yeah, all the vaccines and everything around it and all that. Mm-hmm. I'd like to give you a resource. Could I give you a website that would be very helpful?
Sure. What's the website name?
Okay. It's thehighwire.com.
Thehighwire.com. G H or H I?
It's H I G H. Just like a typo.
All right.
Thehighwire.com.
Okay, I'll check it out. I'll check it out. Yeah,
They broadcast every Thursday, and they're a media source that really, really does true journalism, and they actually post a lot of stuff from all the WHO website, the CDC, and other, like the FDA and all this stuff. They're really into the dangers of vaccines and all that other stuff. It's top-of-the-line resource.
All right. Yeah, you know, just so you know, I'm not against vaccines. I'm just saying, I'm not against vaccines. I'm for them. I just don't want to be forced to take a vaccine. And there's some issues related. I've been hearing some stuff. I'm really concerned. So I want to check everything out. Get documentation from official sources. Not unofficial, but the actual stuff. Anyway.
Right. No, they list everything. But I do have a question for you also.
Sure.
So we had recently a thought about sending our kids to a Christian camp. And of course then I went to the meeting about the camp, and there was a lot of concerns about what I heard from the pastor at that point that was talking about what would be going on at the camp. And I've actually been to a couple of like the outings and camping trips.
All right.
With that church, and I had some concerns because it feels as though often when they have like a worship service or having a campfire, they would call it, but just a message by a campfire or something, it seems to be very emotionalism, like seeming to like trying to coerce the spirit to somehow fall, and something would have to move, and like these long, prolonged songs just kind of repeating at the very end the same things again and again and again. And even with the youth, it felt to me, because I sat in on a youth one day while my son was in there and just kind of sat in the back, it all seemed to be very driven toward emotion, trying to, like, emotionally convict children.
Okay. So into something. Why don't you talk to the pastor? Talk to the pastor about that and say it should not be for emotional reasons, that, you know, emotionalism, because what they could potentially be doing is actually damaging people's spiritual life. Because if you emotionally move to trust in Christ and your life doesn't get better because it's emotionally based, then you're inoculated from believing in God and trusting in Christ later on. So, you know,
exactly.
Talk to
that was my,
you
know, that was my very fear.
Yeah.
Was that. So, because you would say what we need in faith, of course, we know that God calls us to faith, but is the Word and the move of the Spirit, the move of God and the completed Word of Scripture is all we need. We don't need coaxing.
Right, yeah, I agree. We don't need to be coaxed. Right, no coaxing necessary. We trust in the Lord. They need to preach the law, the gospel, and the cost. They need to preach it. And I've been to churches where it's, come on, one more time. Let's sing the song one more time. Come on forward one more time.
Right, right.
You know, it's just like, come on. You know, it's not helpful. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay.
It could. So would you agree that it could be harmful, especially
yes.
for... Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah, we don't want to we don't want to go forward and receive Christ for emotionally based reasons. You know, I knew,
and then fall back, and then feel like, and like, I'm sorry, I was just gonna say, and then like go through a period of like falling back, like, well, I thought I was saved, but you know, now I'm not, and then emotionally moved again, and
right.
and then thought I was saved, and then not, and I just do.
Right.
To me, I feel like it would make it harder for them to really
yes.
fall under conviction through the Word and the Spirit.
That's what I was. Yep, that's right. Yep, you get that right. So talk to them about that. Okay. Talk to them.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, man. God bless. Okay.
All right. God bless.
God bless. All right. Let's get to Stacy from Iowa. Hey, Stacy. Thanks for calling back. What's up, buddy?
Hi, Matt. I just have a quick question for you.
Different Stacy, sorry. I debated a guy named Stacy last night, so I got that in my head.
No, that's...
Okay, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I just have a quick question about how...
Oh, man. There's a break. Can you hold on? I'm sorry.
Yes, I can hold on. No,
all
it's
right.
fine.
Okay, thanks. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back. Hey, let's get there with Stacy. You still there, Stacy?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thanks for waiting.
My question is how can a business force you to get the COVID vaccination? Say they give you 60 days to get it, and they give you a medical exemption, and then you can get a religious exemption. But yet the company says that they're going to decide whether your religious exemption is good enough or not. How can they do that?
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the law, so I don't know what they can or can't do. I do know
but
that...
But doesn't that seem kind of weird that they'll get the final decision on what your religious beliefs
yeah.
are?
When yeah, that's a problem. It's a problem. See,
okay.
One of the things I'm going to be doing is researching some of the vaccines. I do not have a problem with people taking vaccines. That's fine. Take them. I'm for it. But what do you do if a vaccine has been developed using aborted babies, skin cells, or not skin cells, but cells from aborted babies?
My question is, if it's not FDA approved, mm-hmm. can they be held liable for your health issues because it's still considered experimental?
Well, here's what the left does. The left guards themselves and blames others for the problems they cause. So we've got to be careful, but you know, a lot of people are resisting, and a lot of people are getting sick and tired of the mask mandates. A lot of people have had it, a lot of people, and it's increasing. So, you know, we have to stand up and get, you know, our freedom. You have the right to get the vaccine or not get the vaccine. It's your right. That's it. And that's how it should be. They shouldn't be forcing stuff on us. Now,
I agree with you on that. I was just curious because I didn't get to see, they always take your stuff down, like YouTube. So I didn't get to see, like, I'm waiting for your research on it because I've done my own. Yeah. I've had a lot of people that I work with that have done it.
Well,
and
send it to me.
They're really trampling on our rights. So
send it to me. Send it, because I'm going to be doing the research. And but send me the information. You know, I'm not here to tell people not to get a vaccine. If the research information that I have demonstrates that it's good, I'm going to get it. If it demonstrates that it's not, then I'm not going to. I have to go to Israel, and I may or may not be going and getting the vaccine. If they force me, yeah, forget that. But I want to make sure things are okay, and I'm going to let the facts fall where they will. That's what I'm going to do, and I'll report the information I give and stuff like that.
I have to fly soon, too. And you know, I don't have a problem getting it once it's FDA approved. It's just with it out being FDA approved and still has the experimental attached to it, that's where I'm having my biggest issue with it, is that it's still under the experimental phase, not FDA compliant. So I was just kind of curious because you've talked about it and I listened to you on my way home from work. So it's always interesting, the conversations that I get to hear. So thank you for what you do. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And I'm just trying to get accurate information. I study everything I can. Everything in life is supposed to be held into subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so this falls into the category of everything. So I'm going to research. All right.
Thank you, sir. And I look forward to seeing more of your research.
Well, thank you. I need it.
You have a good night.
You too. God bless, Stacy. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. You have three open lines. Give me a call. Let's get to Glenice from Utah. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hi.
It's Glenis, like Glenis the Menace. Don't Glenice me. Let me go.
Okay. Well, so what do you got?
Okay. I had thought I had read in the Bible that no one could say to you, God bless you, unless they were filled with the Holy Spirit and could say it back. I have said that to my kids and a sister, and so I'm wondering, did I really read it, or did I think it was something that I turned around?
Yeah, you turned it around, apparently. It says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. And that doesn't mean just uttering the sentence, but it does mean the Lordship of Christ and calling him that. So, you can say God bless you and things like that.
All righty. Well, thank you for making that clear for me, and thanks for your knowledge that you share.
Well, I wish my wife thought that. Wish my wife was. She'd say thank you so much for everything that you share. My wife, she doesn't say that, so I appreciate it.
I know us wives are allowed to do that, right?
That's right, apparently, and also give certain kinds of blank stares at their husbands, and just annoying things. But hey, that's how it is in marriage, I guess, huh?
Right, and you are safe because you can't see the blank stares that we might be giving you.
well, I see the ones my wife gives me because I apparently do enough stuff where I'm going to be seeing them quite often. So that's all right, though. But she's a good woman,
you.
And she's lucky to have me. That's what I say.
And vice versa. Well, God bless you both, even if the Holy Spirit didn't say you should say that, or I should.
Okay. Well, God bless.
Okay.
That.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Goodbye. All right. I have a little fun there. Hey, if you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877 202-207-2276. Let's get to Tony from North Carolina. Hey, Tony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I saw the debate last night. I thought it was great. I saw the entire debate.
Okay.
And a question that I posted during the debate that I hope would be posed to him was, how does his oneness explain anything that Jesus did clearly in body on the earth after the resurrection? I mean, because he made it sound like, you know, like that body that the Spirit had just indwelled, you know, was basically discarded after the cross. You know, did Jesus...
Oh, no, he says...
Did the Spirit...
He said that Jesus is in a body in heaven. But
yeah, but I mean, how does he appear to the disciples in the other room in the flesh and eat?
That's a good question. I have to ask him.
I just don't, you know, he ate to prove that he's still in flesh.
Right, but he did say that Jesus is in heaven. But of course, that would just be a man, not God in flesh. And,
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, that's what I was hoping. I mean, how did he do so much clearly, you know, in flesh, if that body was just
because God would have
basically abandoned?
God would have would have let him do it, but he didn't say the body was abandoned. What I got from him was that Jesus, the physical body, is in heaven. There's logical problems there because that means Jesus is a person. But you know, okay, so he'll say, okay, Jesus is a person, but the Father only indwelt him. Well, then, then you don't have a divine sacrifice. He invalidates the sacrifice of Christ, actually, is what he does. But, you know, you saw, he completely misrepresented the doctrine of the Trinity numerous times.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he struggled with the whole personhood, and just most anything you ask him, he struggled with, or, you know, like you said, pointed out repeatedly, you know, he'd want you to explain something, and then he'd jump to something else before you, you know, while you were trying, you know, while you were
yes.
doing that. So,
that's
anyway,
right. He said, the Bible never says Jesus is God the Son, and I take him to Hebrews 1:8, but of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, the Son, O God, it's God the Son. And he goes...
Right, and during the baptism by John the Baptist, you know, it's like, how did he handle, you know, I mean, who spoke out of the cloud? I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure how he handles that. You know, he just seems to be missing the whole relationship.
Yeah, he could.
But anyway, it was a great debate.
Logical. Yeah.
Yeah, I stayed for the whole 3 hours and then a little bit of the after show. It is later hours here on the East Coast. But,
right.
I'll look forward to the next one. I didn't have another question.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Well, good, man. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Okay, whoops. Oh, man, I hit the... I do that every now and then. There's somebody waiting, and I hit the wrong drop so that I drop on the next caller there. Now I have nobody calling. So for the person I just did that to accidentally, that's my bad. Give me a call. Call back. 877-207-2276. I hate it when I do that. It makes me smile at myself for messing up. But that's what it is. So I guess he's calling. We had a break coming up here in a minute, so we'll get to that. But if you saw the debate and you want to see the debate, it was pretty bad. He was one of the worst debaters I've encountered in a long time. But at any rate, hey, we have four open lines. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Let's get to Rich from Ohio. Hey, Rich, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I was listening to the lady talk about the vaccine and once it's authorized that she would be willing to take it. So, I just felt like I needed to call in and make a couple comments. And I wanted to read something to you.
Okay.
I'm taking a class on the Constitution.
Wow.
And it's really opening my eyes to what our founding fathers tried to lay out for us to protect us, and mm-hmm. we've allowed to government to take a lot of control over things that they were never intended to take control
over. That's correct, yep.
They pass out different little cards and pamphlets. I wanted to read this one on the vaccine mandates.
Sure.
This is from Patriot America Institute on the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Starts out, it says, cease and desist all COVID-19, quote, vaccine mandates. COVID-19 vaccines have not gone through the full Food and Drug Administration approval process. They have been authorized for emergency use only. Pursuant to FDA 21 U.S. Code Section 360BBB-3, medical products which have been granted emergency use authorization may not be made compulsory. Such products may only be administered in a voluntary fashion and only after full informed consent. Thus, mandates of experimental COVID-19 vaccines or the use of any pressure or coercion to consent to them violates federal law. Unless employees are provided full freedom of choice without any threat of consequences, private businesses are liable for damages caused by the experimental shots. Personal health decisions are a right. Likewise, government officials and their agents who impose COVID-19 vaccines can be held personally liable for violating federal law if they force or coerce anyone to submit to an experimental medical treatment. Personal health decisions are one of our God-given, unalienable rights. They cannot be taken away by federal, state, or local governments. For more information, go to www.patriotamerica76.com, as well as www.freeohionow.com. And to learn more about your God-given rights and take a Constitution class, go to theamericanview.com.
Could you email me that information?
Could
you email that to me at info@carm.org? Could you email me that? I'd like to go through that.
Okay. Let me write your email address. I just found this station, honestly.
Okay.
What's your email address?
It's info, info@carm,
okay.
carm.org. Okay. Seriously, email me that information. My website's had 147 million visitors. And, we have a lot of people on newsletter, and I just want information out so people can make accurate choices. And so I'm a fighter. And when they penalized me for mentioning COVID and stuff like that on YouTube, it's like, okay, gloves are off.
Yep.
Let's go. Let's study. I'll find out what the facts are. The real fact. We'll find out. So.
Well, I've had COVID. I work in a nursing home.
Okay.
And I got it at work, and mm-hmm. I had full PPEs on when I moved mm-hmm. people into quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
N95 mask, visor, gloves, gown, everything, and I still got it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of research out there that's being suppressed about efficacy of masks.
Yes, and that's correct. That's correct. You have to have an N95 because that's the that's the level. Then N95 and better will deal with the coronavirus because it's very, very small. And these cloth masks that you have that people wear, useless.
Are useless.
Yep.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yep. I know about that.
I talked to the medical director yesterday, and we have to still wear masks. It's a mm-hmm. procedure mask, and she even said that it's worthless against COVID because the virus is so small.
Yeah. Yeah, they make you do it. These are control markers. Why is it that people are trying to control us? Why they want to control us? We have I believe that the major problem in our there's twofold major problem in our country. One is its lack of dedication to the Lord. That's all primary. And number two, the schools are so leftist that they're socialist, communist regimes. They're just indoctrination schools. And we got to get these things taken care of. Uh-huh.
Didn't they tell us that they would take us over without firing a shot?
Yep, that's right. They did, and I have research where they actually listed what they would do and how they would do it, and it's the steps are coming about. It's absolutely happening.
Mm-hmm. You know, Fauci is trying to push to get the Pfizer vaccine approved.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get that approval, then you lose that experimental use authorization.
And see, here's the thing.
This is not a vaccine.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not a vaccine. This is, in Moderna's terms, this is an operating system. It's a medical device. They've never had a vaccine successfully go through animal trials of this type. It's an mRNA vaccine, if you want to use that term. It's not really...
Right.
They had to change the legal definition so that this would fall in the non-liability for the pharmaceutical manufacturers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy that invented the mRNA, I believe his first name was Dr. Robert Malone, he says that the worst thing you could do with this type of a vaccine is to mass vaccinate the entire population. It's going to cause the mutations. And I talked to a nurse today. Her daughter is working in a hospital. I've heard this from other sources that, and I won't say this is across the nation, but in these specific hospitals, roughly 4 out of 5 of the people that have COVID that are in the hospital are the ones that received the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. See, I need to get the documentation for all of these things. And so this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for absolute documentation where it's not, you know, bobsinfo.com, but it's, you know, it's reputable information. And that's what I wanted to have it. That's how I do my research. And this is important because it's, I think it's a prelude to a further alteration of our country. And with that comes a restriction on religious freedoms. With that comes a restriction on Christianity. This is ultimately a very serious issue. And a lot of people don't know this, but I'm a fighter. I have always resisted oppression. And that's one of the reasons I do what I do, because the cults and false religious systems, they, in that sense, oppress the truth of who Christ is. So it's time, you know, let's go. And this is serious stuff that we're going through here in our country. Our country's being reworked, and our rights are being removed little by little. It's bad.
And too many Christians are sitting back saying, I'm going to be non-violent or non-confrontational in all this, and just let them walk all over us and our children and grandchildren.
That's right. And I say no. See, I'm willing to go to jail. I'm willing to be arrested and go to jail for my belief in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what that entails. And if I get arrested, you know, I'll just start Bible studies in jail. And you don't know who I am, and that's fine. I mean, no big deal. It sounds arrogant to say that, but I've been, you know, doing this for a while, and I've been swatted. That's when someone calls up and says, hey, I can't even repeat what they said to the police that got people, you know, all kinds of guns and cops and sheriffs pointing at me as I'm walking out of my house. And I got handcuffed, put in a car, and a whole bit because of his call getting swatted. I've had that happen. I've had Satanists threaten to kill me and my family. I've been threatened with lawsuits. I've been followed in my car. Others, my wife's been followed in her car. We've had varying things happen. There's more. So this is what, you know, it's what I do in my life. And we as Christians have to stand up. And if we don't, because it's when good men do nothing, the wicked prosper. So, you know.
You know, we have to start at the county level to get our country back.
Yes, we
and
do.
One of the things you can do is get your sheriff on board. There is an organization called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officer Patrol Officer Association.
Mm-hmm.
They go by the initials CSPOA. It started by a constitutional sheriff. I believe he was a Christian. He is a Christian, Mack, Sheriff Mack. The county sheriff has more authority than any federal government agency in that county.
Hmm.
And if they come in and start harassing citizens in a non-constitutional way, he has the authority to arrest them or to throw them out of the county. But yeah. Most of the sheriffs don't realize they have that power.
Well, this is a documentation, you know, that needs to be gotten out there, and we need to have. And, you know, when the government isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing in protecting its citizens, the citizens need to start protecting themselves. This is just how it works. The government's job is to provide for the safety of the citizens, not become oppressive. This is what socialist regimes do, communist regimes, and they become oppressive. And so our country is moving more towards that oppression. And
well, that's why we had our first revolution, was because the government was oppressive.
Yep.
And the Declaration of Independence
says
right. that they derive their power from the consent of the government.
That's right. That's why I've been telling people to read the Declaration of Independence. You know, you can go to CARM, you can read it. And we need to get our country back. And now's the time. This is serious stuff.
Yeah.
This is, people fail to realize that the Bible says in Ephesians 6, 12, 13, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. Think about it in those terms, folks. It's ultimately a demonic force moving against the truth of God's word. And whatever methodology the enemy of the gospel can do to cause people to have less freedom means less freedom to ultimately preach that gospel. And so we need to recognize where this is. This is the inspired word of God. So this is why it's a serious thing. And you know, I'm a Christian apologist, Rich, and more and more this topic is coming up. I've been defending the Christian faith for decades, and now this, you know, unfortunately, it's necessary to talk about. We're almost out of time. Can you send me that info, okay? I just want to, you know, check it out.
I will.
Okay. info@carm.org.
I may send you more than you bark.
No, that's fine.
I may send you more than you bargained for.
Well, and
okay.
Check out my
All
website,
right.
too, carm.org, okay? I'm used to getting a lot of stuff. All right, buddy?
All right.
Okay. All right. Well,
All
God
right.
bless.
Thank
we
got
to go. All right. Hey, Bob from Salt Lake City, call back tomorrow, okay? We'll talk about where we go after death, because that's an important topic, and it relates to annihilationism and some other stuff. So call back tomorrow, okay? We're out of time, folks. May the Lord bless you all. By His grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.